Today we're going to talk about actually sharing the gospel with somebody, and I want to use an illustration that I learned about a year ago, and I really like, so I'm going to do it for you. It's all on here in excruciating detail, but the thing about this is I've got the whiteboard up here. I'm going to be drawing. I know we're recording this, so drawing is not going to show up very well on a recording, but we'll put the handout up and it'll be very much the same. We want to make sure as much as possible that we're carrying on conversations. We talked about that quite a bit last week about the idea of rather than coming at somebody and just bowling them over, we're entering a conversation with them. And so even in sharing the gospel, there are things, questions that you can ask, things that you can do to make it more of a discussion than a sermon. So, you know, one of the things we talked about last time was even asking, is it all right if I share with you about what I believe? And an easy way to start this whole thing is to ask, do you believe the world is broken? So why do you believe? What kind of things point to you that would tell you that the world is broken? War, violence, sickness and death, broken families, morality. Okay, so I'll just put immorality. How about that? Abuse, false teachers, drugs, and all that associated with that. Mental illness. So, Scott, what would you do if somebody said, no, I don't believe the world's broken? And do you know anybody, even people who you say don't think the world is broken, that would say all of these things are okay?
It's the norm. That's the norm now.
It is the norm, but is it okay? Okay, so remember what we're doing here. We've already talked to this person about, is it all right if I share with you my view of the way it is, right? So even if they don't agree that the world is broken, you can share with them these things. All of these things, to me, are signals that the world is broken. Ask them the question is a way of drawing them in, and if they'll talk about these. And my guess is, or my experience is, that if somebody says, oh, I don't think it's broken, and I'll say, really? Do you think the way it is now is the way it should be and it's all good? Well, no, of course, no, that's not what I meant. What did you mean? You know, I mean, and you say you can talk about this stuff, and people will recognize. Even those who aren't Christian, don't have any Christian background, they may attribute them to, you know, attribute wars to Christians or whatever. They're still going to say it's not a good thing, right? And even if they don't, we're explaining our view here, right? So, I mean, you guys raised these points, and I think there's something for us to think about. But what I want to make sure we get is we don't allow that to stop us from sharing the gospel, right? Because the next thing we're going to say is, yeah, I think the world we live in now is broken. It's not the way God designed it. As a matter of fact, I think God's original design for the world was whole and pure, and everybody lived in harmony. A world that is whole and not broken, a world that is pure and not full of all this pain and heartache and all, and where people live in harmony with one another. There's not war. This is what God created, his original design for the world was. So then you ask, it's a pretty big contrast between those two, isn't it? So how do we get from the one to the other? If we started here, how do we get to there?
Jesus.
We're going to get to that answer, but not right yet, right? We got to there through sin, through making bad choices, right? Choices that were contradictory to God's original design. Choices that go against God's nature and God's character. Right? That's what sin is. And when we've made those choices, it's led to this. Everybody in the world makes those choices, and so the world continues to have this kind of stuff going in. Because the end result of sin is that when we sin, we are rejecting God, rebelling against God, telling God that we know better than He does. We don't want anything to do with Him. And so it puts up this barrier. It separates us from Him. Now let's step outside of this and just ask, what have we communicated so far? The world's not the way God designed it to be. What else? We're in a place we don't want to be. That we're separated from God. We've separated ourselves. What questions might somebody ask? Why does God let this happen? Why does He allow bad things? Why has God abandoned the world? Right? And so we can talk about what sin does. You ever had somebody who's done something against you? How do you feel about that person? You want to continue on having a close relationship with them? No. Well, that's what we've done to God. And even then, we're the ones who walked away from Him. He has chosen not to force us to follow His ways. Now, if you've got somebody, you know, you get a judge as you're going through this where the person you're talking to is. If they're far away and totally are not even sure if they're going to be accepting that this world is broken, then that may be somebody that you just do this with. If it's somebody that's closer to believing or somebody that's grown up in the church and walked away or something of that nature, then you can begin to bring in Scripture to go along with it. You know, Romans 3:23, you can put in right here, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All right, so here's where things stood. So what's God going to do? God created us this way because of our choices and actions. The world we live in is this. And so God, even though we rebelled against Him, decided that He wanted to do something about it. And so He sent Jesus, who came into the world. And just put a little down arrow there. All right, so He entered into this world full of the brokenness and the sin and all of the things that are going on there. And He lived in it and experienced it, just like one of us. And having experienced it and lived there without sin, He then died on the cross for our sins. And then God raised Him from the dead as a sign that His death on the cross had covered the penalty for our sins. In other words, making it possible for us to be restored to God. And this was the whole purpose of His coming, to restore us to God. So Jesus came into the world. He died for our sins. He was raised to show that sacrifice was accepted. And He came in order to give us a pathway to restore us to God and God's original plan. We can't get back to God ourselves because sin has separated us from God. So at this point, you know, then you can raise, depending upon, again, where you're at with the person, you can raise the question or the issue of, what about good deeds? Can we just be a good person? As long as I do more good things than bad things, what about that? And talk about the fact that doing a good thing doesn't counteract the evil that we've already done, the bad thing that's already gone before. Right? That's the reason Jesus came, but we still have to be connected to Him. So how do we get connected to Jesus? So this is where we have believe, repent, baptism, throw confession on there too. And again, you know, these are the things that connect us to Christ that allow us to be on this path towards restoration, what we would call salvation. But once we're connected to Jesus in this way, and again, you can go through, I've got the scriptures listed on there if you want to look at with the person that you're talking to, the specific scriptures that talk about each of those. Okay, Mark 16, 16, Acts 2, 38, Romans 10, 10. All right, so that connects us to Christ, which then restores us to God. But that's not the end of the story. It's not the end of what it's all about. It's not the end of what God calls us to. Because we're also to be pursuing God. So not only does Jesus restore, but we're supposed to live the rest of our life pursuing Him. Loving Him, obeying Him, following Him, pursuing God. We have a mission once we have been restored to God and God's design. By the way, part of the restoration is healing. It's transformation in thinking. As we understand new truth and incorporate it into our worldview, it's healing from past hurts, from addictions, from abuses that had come in our past, whatever it is. That's all part of what comes through God. But then He has also called us to be a part of the mission to go back into the world full of brokenness and point them to God so that the rest of the world can find healing as well. Now, we as Christians often want to stop with the connecting to Jesus part. Or we'll say, all right, and then we're going to pursue God part. But the whole picture of what God has called us to is that we are called to go back into the world from which we have been saved out of and make a difference there for God. So, this is why the passage that's listed on this paper is the passage about being ambassadors. 2 Corinthians 5, 17 through 21. So this is the mission that God has given us. All right, so what questions do you guys have about this? Acts 10:10, Romans 10:10. Romans 10:10 is about confessing with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. I would actually draw it out. I mean, this is something that's simple enough that you can do it on a napkin at a restaurant somewhere. And that's the thing about it is that you can just hit the highlights. You can do the three circles and come around and you can do it in 5 minutes, literally. And it doesn't have to be. Or you can sit down and you can go through each of these. You can spend time on what does it mean to believe? What's it mean to repent? What is baptism? What is confession? What are those things? Talking to people about each of those things in detail. But what I'm showing you is here's a way to communicate the whole message of God to somebody over lunch with a napkin, and that's it. And that's one of the things that I like about it. It's simple enough that you can do that. You don't need to drag out your Bible and have, 12 of those little sticky page things and got them in order. And, you don't need all that. You can do this. Then you can go into more detail and hit the scriptures and talk to them about that. Ask them, get their questions if you want to go into detail. If somebody's really engaged and wanting that, you can go through all that too. But it's all contained in this one thing. One of the hardest things is in convincing people to love God is God's followers who don't follow His ways. Right? I mean, let's just be honest about that. The church sometimes is the biggest obstacle to people coming to know God because they do. They equate the church with God. The things that I have tried to do around that is to a couple of things. One, and these aren't easy things, they take time and stuff, but to talk to them about what kind of measure are we using for the church versus everybody else, because the church is full of still people who are forgiven, who are in process of being restored to God's design, but are not perfect yet. And so often, even the world will look at the church and judge with a very black and white kind of judgment on the church, but then they turn to their friends or their things, and they are much more forgiving about that. And so you can try to address those kinds of things at times, or communicate to them that you know, where you tried to head, it sounds like that my relationship with God is primary, and my relationship with the, you know, the church itself doesn't always 100% represent who God is. But I don't have a here's the surefire thing, or here's the illustration that solves it, you know. Those are the ways that I generally try to address that. So can you talk about that when you first bring up brokenness? I probably wouldn't do it when I first brought it up. I would probably do it when I'm talking about mission. That we, the church, are in the world and are called to influence the world, but we're not perfect yet. We're still in this restoration process. So that's where I would do that and talk about that if that comes up, which would be an advantage, like with your friend, if you had shared this with her. Of course, you didn't know it, so... But then you could kind of come back to that point and say, yeah, well, here we are. We are trying to address this, but we're not yet fully who we're going to be. As a matter of fact, there's a verse in 1 John where John says, what we are is God's children. What we will be is not yet made known. And, you know, the idea is, yeah, we're God's people now, but we're not perfect yet. And that's in the future somewhere. Well, and that's one of the things, you know, I found in talking with people, they're going to say something or whatever, and the tendency is to want to get defensive. But if you can just say, yeah, that's an issue. I struggle with that sometimes myself, and be honest about those things, and not be defensive, but say, you know, we are humans who are trying and are learning and are growing all the time, but no, we're not perfect. And by any means. I think we do God a disservice if we say, oh, we're finished product. Here, look at us. We're the finished product. No. God is doing a transformation work in my life, and he's done amazing things already. And that's why we talked about our own personal testimony and why we focused on that idea of the transformation, the change, so that we can communicate to people, God has brought this change in my life, and I'm very different than who I was without God. But that's not to say I'm done. All right, so a couple notes I put at the bottom of this, at the end of this whole page. Ask for questions throughout the whole thing. You know, any place you can, or you can, you know, go by their faces. They're looking skeptical or whatever. What's your question? What's your thought? And just get it out of them. Judge by their reactions. You know, how are they responding to this? Maybe they need to see the scriptures. Maybe you need to say, you know, you've seen all this now. Do you want to learn more about Jesus? Are you ready to make a decision for him? Maybe you need it. Sometimes, you know, the old salesman thing of you got to close the sale. And sometimes we need to come to that point of being bold enough and caring enough to actually ask. Do you believe this? Are you ready to respond to this? Because sometimes they might surprise you and say, yeah, but I need some more information, or I need more time, or you say, absolutely, you know. But sometimes just asking that question is a good thing. Some of this we already talked about. Use scriptures for those closer. Do it on a napkin or scrap paper. I would not suggest using this handout, because then it looks all pre-planned. And one of the things I learned, I was taught when I was first starting off is, like, if you're having a meeting or something and you hand out an agenda and it's all perfect, it makes people feel like the decisions have already been made. And so I was told, always make sure that you make a typo somewhere or do something to help people see that this isn't a complete thing. So usually I write something in on by hand. That's what I generally tend to do is I'll say point one, two, three, and I'll have that all typed up, and then I'll write in by hand point four. So that people see that this is a work in progress. And that's what you want to do here. That's why I said just sitting down and doing this is a lot more real than, all right, let's break out my piece of paper here and do that. Don't, you can read this, don't memorize word for word what I have there. Be conversational. I probably didn't use the exact words. I didn't reread it, but when you're walking through it, just Just use your own word. If you forgot something, it's not the end of the world. You'll get the chance to add it later. Okay, so for the purposes of the recording, what Ron is saying is you could start by asking somebody, what do you think the perfect world would look like? And as they define it, then you could talk about, well, the world we live in now isn't that world. It's got these things, right? The thing that I would be careful with that about is make sure that when you define God's design, it reflects God's design, because who knows what their perfect world may be. It may not be what God's design is. Yeah, two different things. One is your testimony of when you came to salvation, and one is a testimony now of God continuing to work in you, that you're not complete, forgiven but not perfect kind of thing. Yes. Okay. Any other questions? Does this feel doable to you? Okay, good. Because now what I want you to do is get in your little groups, and one of you be the non-Christian, and one of you be the person who's going to present this, and then you can rotate through and try it. Just try it. There's you're in an environment of friends here. So you can do this thing, and there's no pressure at this point, right? So try it here and do it here, even though it's a role play and it feels weird. Just do it anyway and get a feel for it. All right? Go. Okay, so I know some of you are still talking, but I want to kind of wrap the whole month up here just briefly. We've been focusing on, of course, the idea of evangelism, sharing the gospel, and talked all the way through this about interaction in terms of relationship and discussion rather than lecturing and those kinds of things, and all from the basis of valuing who these people are, because we do. We want to value them. They are valuable. They are made in God's image, and we want to share the gospel with them. And so many times I think we have the fear that stops us rather than them. It's what's in the fear that we have in our heart. So I said the very first week that my goal was to reduce some of those fears down and maybe eliminate them. And so I hope this has helped with some of that, given you some tools and some ideas of a way to approach it and go about it. The thing I will say is that this is a skill that you can practice and really develop and refine over time. So I hope you're more aware now than you were a month ago of people in your life that you have opportunities to share with.